Let's try again. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Yes, that's the only time you're allowed to be a little bit louder. All right. It is a blessing to be here again. We are very happy that we have an extra member in our family. It was a healthy baby. And you saw his picture. Most of you all saw his picture. And it's my baby having a baby. It's my young girl. So we are very blessed. And also, my son is about to have a son as well. And then Chriselle. So all three of them decide to hurry up and give us grandchildren. It was a blessing. Our best regards from all of them, because they know I asked their permission to send the picture, because, you know, it's their lives. So they say, oh, of course, please do. And that's why they have a connection with you too. And we are blessed to be part of the same family that by God's grace will be in the kingdom someday.
Amen.
Come. Come. How many times have you heard that in your life? Maybe not in English, maybe in a different language. But an invitation to come to something. Sometimes we don't want something to come because it may mean trouble. But in the context that we're going to use today, is positive. So I want to use the verb come in a positive way. It is also to go. So we decide to entitle this message, this brief message we have today, come and go. There are things that come and there are things that go. And in a context of the Bible, in a context of Jesus' ministry, those two goes together. So the title, as we mentioned, it is, I decided to have this Jesus picture with his arm inviting, come. And also the same arms are the ones who send, you must go. Jesus' ministry, as I mentioned, Jesus balances his invitation to us to come. And the come implies grace, restoration, and rest. What is the word restoration here? It means in order for you to come to somebody, you have to establish a relationship, right? When you come to someone, and if you don't have a good relationship, you'll be quickly to go. But in this invitation here, Christ invites us because he has something to enable us to be like him. So the most important thing that after sin came to this life is grace. Without grace, we cannot come to Christ. So God provides grace. And also, the same come implies restoration. Means when we confess, he removes the sins from us in order to make us according to his image again. And rest. Rest here is not like, oh, I'm so tired, I'm going to lay down. Rest means to cease to do what we used to do and start to do something new. Because now in the presence of Christ, you'll be like Christ. And then his command to go. Anybody here ever worked for commission? Because there is a two meaning for the word commission, right? Commission like you were ordered to go, a task, but also say, I work for commission. I have worked for commission. I sold books, and they will say, for every book that you sell, you get this percentage. So that is to work for commission. But the word commission here means God is assigning us to a task. So commission also involves mission, service, discipleship, and of course, a reflection of his glory. That's all under the goal. Now, you know that I sometimes like to use words to make some other meaning. For me, go, every time I see go in the context of the Bible, means God's obedience. God says, I obey. That's what it stands for, go, for me. So that's the way I hope that you can see the word go when Jesus Christ tells us to go. Jesus calls individuals to come to him to grace them with salvation, rest, learning, and life. Anybody, every single person who comes to Christ has the benefit of receiving life. Now, this here has a cable. Do you know why it needs this computer needs this cable? It needs power. If I disconnect, it's going to last a little bit, and then everything will disappear. Will go dark. Why? Because if there is no power, there's no life. We need to come to Christ, and we need to stay connected. If we do not are connected, we'll go dead. Come to me, all you who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Every single human being struggle, because that's what evil, that's the intention of evil, is to make our lives miserable and hard. But Jesus Christ says, you don't have to do all this by yourself. Just look at me, come, be under my arms, and I'll protect you. Transformation and discipleship. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Or I like another version, says, fishers of people. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 9, this is what Jesus told the disciples. That was their profession. He says, I want you to use the same approach, but now to bring people to the kingdom. This is a call for us to leave behind personal comfort, all the things that sometimes consume so much of our time, and be transformed by His purpose. We need to live according to God's purpose. When we come because of His purpose. When we go because of His purpose. All to reflect His will with our lives. The call. Have you received the call yet? You know, my phone is here. I cannot take it out because it's been used. But we constantly, right now, it looks like everybody's connected one way or the other, right? Sometimes, and I do ask this opportunity, if you have your phone not on silent, please put it on silent. Because we know that somebody may call you during this. I know one that will call you that you should answer. But anybody else, do not answer yet, okay? Jesus calls His followers friends. Yes, He calls us friends. He invites us into a personal relationship rather than a strict servant or slave and master. Do you know that our Creator never, ever treat us as slaves? Never as servants, but always as children. He loves us and He serves us, even though He is the master. Therefore, go and make disciples. You all know where this is found, right? Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Please underline this in your Bible. That's the part of the goal that we must know. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. Maybe next week or a few weeks from now, I'm going to share with you the story, the conversion, the second conversion of Peter. When he did not understand completely what the goal is, you know, goal stands for what? Not only him, but all the disciples got a little confused about this goal. They said, go, and I'm not going to say too much because I want to reserve this for when I actually talk about, but they had a very exclusive group of people. When God told them go, they thought about, and sometimes today in our cultures, when we are called to go, we select. We have become very selective to where I go, to where, who do I talk to. And Jesus Christ makes very clear, all the nations. Not people that look like me, not people just of my age or my gender or whatever is the temptation for us to be exclusive. The Bible says to all. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One person told me, but Pastor, it tells us to baptize before we teach them. You see, the teaching comes in verse 20. But people misunderstand the whole concept because in the Bible, they make a statement and then they clarify what that means. That's exactly the same approach that is used here. The teaching is what motivates people to accept and to be baptized. It is the teaching. And so teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given to you. And be sure of this. Notice that I emphasize the all. You'll find a lot of churches out there, even some with the name Seventh-day Adventist outside, that are kind of having trouble with the word all. We have one pastor called me and said, as we were talking, and I mentioned this here before, I'm just repeating this. He said that somebody was attending his church, and finally he asked the person, would you like to join the church? Where do you have your membership? And the person says, no, I don't have a membership anywhere. Aren't you a Seventh-day Adventist? Oh, yes, I am. So when were you baptized? No, I haven't been baptized. So this individual says, I am Seventh-day Adventist. I haven't been baptized. And this individual did not feel like he needs to be baptized. I accept God. I love God. God loves me. Why is the baptism all necessary? And so the pastor asked him, why you haven't been baptized? He said, because all these 28 beliefs, there's two of them that troubles me very much and I'm not willing to accept them. And the pastor asked, which two? And he explains those two. And sadly, they compromise and they baptize the individual, hoping that later on he will accept all those two. Somebody comes to a pastor and says, Pastor, I want to keep only 8 commandments, not 10. Would you baptize? Would this church vote in favor of baptizing somebody who comes here in front of you and says, I agree with 27 of your beliefs, but not 28, but I want to still be part of your church? We need to understand that when the Bible says teach all, it means all. That's what is so unique about the faith that we have as a Seventh-day Adventist, because we are willing to accept all. Every single page of this book is God's word. We don't have the power or the discretion to say, I'm going to leave this part out. We don't have that luxury. When we come to Christ, we have to come without any reservation. We come to accept everything. Not only everything that he has to give, everything that he has to teach, but when we accept everything, meaning we become everything that he has to offer. You don't want to be 99% alive, right? Do you know what 99% alive means? Do you know what 99% saved, what it means? You'll be barbecued. It says clearly. And so, commission rather than omission. Some people join the church on the intent to be commissioned to a mission. And yet, after a while, they start embracing omission instead of a commission. His mission, come. Come to him. His commission, and the word commission in Latin, C-O-M, means with. And so commission is with a mission. A calling with a mission, with a purpose. Go with him. If you go without him, you're not going to bring anything to him. You need to go with him in order to bring somebody to him. So to make disciples, to spread the gospel, to baptize everyone who accepts the gift of eternal life. His commission is for us to go, to make disciples, to spread the gospel, to teach all, to obey all to obey all that he has commanded and bring them into God's family through baptism. And when we go, we are empowered by his presence to be with us always. Three all. We teach all to all, and we'll have him with us always. That's the way God invites us. And go is actually an extension of to come. Go is actually an extension of to come. Followers go because they have already come. No one can go unless they come. These two actions define what is Christ-like, a Christ-life like. If you want to say to yourself that you are a Christian, if you don't come to Christ, you cannot be a Christian. If you don't go with Christ, you cannot be a Christian either. Coming to Jesus to be saved, going into the world to share the salvation that you have received. That's how the come and go is part of the same. This command requires stepping out of our personal goals to embrace with full commitment His goal. We need to go and share the gospel with everyone. That is the goal. Jesus is calling, come. Right? And then Jesus is commanding, go. It's a calling and a commandment. When He comes, we will go. The Bible says clearly, more than 1,500 times all over the Bible. Some people even say that it even goes more than 2,000 times, the implication that Jesus is coming. And we will go. If you go to Jesus, if you come, when Jesus invites you to come, then I can guarantee you, you will go when He comes. I'd like you to look into this. I pray that they may all be one, Father. May they be in us, just as you are in me. And I am in you. May they be one, so that the world will believe that you sent me. Seeking communion. The come and go is an expression of communion. You come with Him to be one with Him. And you go in His name. You are to bring others to be part of oneness as well. Empowered calling. Come and go are acts of obedience. Come and go are acts of purpose. Come and go are acts of oneness. Come and go are acts of communion. You cannot have a communion unless you come. You cannot have communion unless you're willing to go. It is all part of a communion as well. A call to oneness. Christ's invitation. When He had finished washing their feet, He put on His clothes and returned to His place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. And I like to ask you the same thing. When you participate in a foot washing, it is important for you to understand the meaning. Some denominations, they don't do this. And I don't know why, because it's very obvious. Once, I mentioned this to you before, a chaplain asked me, Pastor, why do you need to have a foot washing? That's only Jesus said as a ceremonial thing. It has nothing to do with a communion. I said, yes, look what it says. And then I read for him, and he accepted, and then we practiced communion foot washing. For him, was the first time ever, even though he was already an ordained minister. When He had finished washing their feet, He put on His clothes, as we already read. And it says, do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. And then He continues by saying, you call me teacher and Lord. And here I am on my knees as a servant washing. I'm the Almighty One. And here I am on my knees washing your feet. And why should you be embarrassed to do this for another human being that is just like you? Here I am, the Lord, the Creator. Look what I'm doing for you. You call me teacher and Lord. Right is so, for that's what I am. But then He continues, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you maybe should do if you're feeling like, if you have the desire to. That's how some people read this in the Bible. But that's not the way the Bible says, that you also should wash one another's feet. By the way, English is not my first language, as you can hear my accent, you can tell me. But I understand the should, what it should means. It's not optional. It's not telling me that, if I feel comfortable, if I know the person where I'm washing their feet, or, and if the person, you know, and put all those conditions. And Jesus continued, I have set you an example, and here comes again, that you should do as I have done for you. But of course, I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is the master greater than the one who sent him or her. Now that you know these things, you be held accountable. You will be blessed if you do them. I don't know about you, but I always come to Christ looking for blessings. Every single time I come to him, I look for blessings. But you know Peter, right? You heard about Peter. As a pastor, I have a lot of Peters in my life. Every church that I go to pastors, we always have a Peter. And don't ask me who is the Peter here. If I say Peter, don't stand up, please. Okay? Every church, there is a Peter. And there is the good side of Peter. And I like to emphasize the good side. He always was standing up to talk, to search for something. And because of his personality, he was blessed many times with a very unique experience that nobody else had. So here is Peter. Everybody, even Judas, look at Judas. Judas was there. Jesus was washing his feet. He was pretending nothing, everyone. But when it came to Peter, Peter said, oh no, not me. I am the one who's supposed to wash your feet, not you wash my feet. Was Peter right? In that case, yes. He was right on the way he was thinking. It was how he says, how could I allow my master to play the role of us? That's my role. That's not his. That's I supposed to be there. So that's why, Brother Jed, that's why I said that he was right in that sense. His mind was in the right path. But sometimes we can have the right thoughts and still do the wrong thing. So it says, people who have been taken a bath or be baptized need only to wash their feet. Unless I wash you, Peter, you have no part with me. Do you think that foot washing is necessary? If you say that it's not, then you say that communion is not necessary. Then you say the baptism is not necessary. Because Jesus clearly made a connection between foot washing and baptism. When he says, Peter says, oh, wash me all over. He said, now, if you have been baptized, after you've been baptized, everyone here, how many of you have been baptized? Okay. How many of you are ready to be baptized? All right, if you're ready, let us know. The womb is here. Just need a little water and baptism can take place. But I'd like to ask you this. You have been baptized. Since you have been baptized, you have been walking on the road. And you have got some dust on your feet. Spiritually speaking, that's why Jesus provided the foot washing as a remedy to this situation that is we all vulnerable. Even though we do not mean to sin, we catch some dust as we walk. And so Jesus Christ says, you need to clean up. Every single time you come before the table. Mothers, don't you tell your kids, Go wash before you come to the table, right? This table is not any different. You have to go wash before you come to this table as well. So that's what Jesus Christ is asking of you. Go wash and come and join us.